This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning and welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Kanasin with Noel Lim and Koo Sichuang in the studio this morning. Happy Monday to everyone to start to another great week ahead of us. And everyone looks at me and rolls their eyes in the studio. How are you both doing? How was your weekend, Noel?
Oh, the weekend was good. I tried to stay at home as much as possible. But you know, I see the shops are like 3/4 full.
Yes, I can say that I did not stay home as much as possible. I did go out. Father's Day took my dad out for breakfast. On Saturday night, my mom took us out for dinner. Things seem to be that V-shaped recovery that people keep talking about. There is some semblance of it. Let's hope it's not a W-shaped recovery, because that means there's another pitfall ahead of us.
Well, it depends on which neighborhood you're in, right? If you're in Monkara, then it's a V. In other parts of the country, it might be a U. You never know.
A U, yeah.
And you were in Penang.
I was in Penang.
So what alphabet was it?
I don't know, actually, a squiggly U, maybe. Parts of the city is still under, kind of like, very quiet.
A squiggly U.
A squiggly U. There's bits and bobs going on. Bits and bobs.
How was the drive to Penang?
It was nice. It was nice. We tend to go when people are sleeping and come back when and be in bed while other people are still on the road. So that's a strategy you might employ.
That's very smart, because I had some friends who were coming back, a friend who was coming back yesterday and was stuck in like a 7-hour jam. So not the most pleasant thing, but also shows you how many people were traveling.
Yeah, that's right. And that's usually a good sign, mobility, right? I want to add that, what was it? Father's Day was yesterday?
Yes.
Today is Noel's Day.
Today's Noel's Day, is it?
Today's happy birthday, Noel.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you for announcing it.
Only 24 this year.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Speaking of things to come, 6:30, Chuang, international news. What are we covering?
I talk about Big Brother. I talk about overbearing governments. I talk about how beans are spilt in 600-page books. I talk about all those things. And I talk about the big states coming down on little people.
So basically, just a regular Monday morning.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Noel Lim, what about you?
Learning opportunities.
Also, another Monday morning for Noel Lim over there. Anyway, when we come back, I'll be getting into another Monday morning for me, procrastination tips, because I am quite a procrastinator. Stay tuned. This is BFM 89.9. Welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Kanasin with Noel Lim and Koo Sichuang in the studio this morning. And that was Step On by Happy Monday. And a happy Monday to you as well out there. You can always get in touch with us over on Twitter at BFM Radio or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Right now, we're going to talk about procrastination. And if you've got any tips to help that with that situation, I'd be very keen to know, because Lord knows, I have some problems with procrastination. Noel, what about, do you have any sage advice for me here when it comes to procrastination? Because I tend to let things slide until panic sets in, and then, I mean, I get the job done, but maybe I could have avoided all that panic.
Yeah, so I generally don't procrastinate unless it requires a huge expenditure. But I'm not sure if that's a productive kind of procrastination, because you'll be doing research, right? And then you kind of think, I'm going to be spending money, so I delay this, delay and delay. But one thing
spoken I... Spoken like a true...
Penang Knight.
Chinese person.
But what I found useful is to break down a task. Is to break it down to manageable levels, and then you just take off as you go along, and then and I think that gives you that high feeling, I'm getting somewhere, right?
Yeah, and then you kind of build momentum. I've always found the Pomodoro technique, which is basically just 25-minute timers to just get you started.
He's been reading too many blogs, you know. This Pomodoro technique.
You know what Pomodoro means?
It's a tomato, right?
Tomato.
Yeah, it's a tomato, right? And that's why that timer thing that looks like a tomato.
It's the tomato technique. But it's just a good way of getting started, because sometimes you're just like, I don't want to spend 3 hours sitting down.
Yeah.
Chuang, what about you? Are you do you have any tips here?
Well, you know, I'm not the most efficient guy in the world, right?
I'm not sure if you're being sarcastic.
No, I am being deadly serious. But this MCO thing has just exacerbated the whole thing. But I get these bursts of productivity, right? So I try to put off things. And then in one afternoon, I'll just kill the fella, right? I'll just make it happen. And then I feel that when I'm not in that state of mind, it takes a damn long time to do that thing. But then when I'm on, I'm really on, and I just bang, gets done in 2 hours.
So that's the thing when you have deadlines, right? So when you have deadlines, you know, like, okay, I need to get this assignment done by here. Yeah. I know that this is kind of like the runway that needs to go. And I typically know that for me, that last day is going to be incredibly stressful and full of anxiety. So I try and clear out that last day because I know it's going to end up that way. But what happens when you don't have a clear deadline? You know, these are just tasks that, you know, they're important, but they're not urgent. So they fall into this limbo of things that you never really get done. Do you have any experience with that?
So you make it happen, lah. And I get that a lot because when you run your own, you know, kind of like ship, right, you got to make sure things happen because otherwise, if you don't push the boulder uphill, it'll just keep falling back on you. So you got to have those internal guidelines.
So it really does come back to
you. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You know, when you're facing the cost, when your back is to the wall and you've got no cash flow, then you kind of like have to, okay, get out of bed, right?
Turn
off the Netflix.
Yeah, so I think I like to do things early simply for that reason, right? To avoid anxiety, the last minute anxiety. Yeah, and also I think maybe I'm a bit of a perfectionist, so I need to do something and then, you know, I keep working on it. So then the last 2 days I'm quite relaxed. And I remember in university people are just scrambling around me, right?
Yeah. I was one of those people scrambling.
There was two of us.
You know, but you know, I have had experience with the whole planning thing. So not to say that I haven't. My procrastination is like I'm not even committed to procrastinating because it's a 50-50 thing. There are some assignments or some work that I've planned out well ahead in advance and I've got it all sorted out. But these are the kind of it's the work that I'm more synergistic with, to use a buzzword this morning. There's other stuff where you just don't want to really deal with and then you just let it go and go. And then the thing is, when you keep procrastinating and you keep, let's just, for lack of a better word, you keep succeeding at that procrastination, that enforces that behavior, which then makes you believe that, don't worry, lah, at the end of this, I'll sort it out, no problem, one. It will happen. But it's not always going to be the case. It's a lot of risk to take on till the very end.
Well, there's two kinds of procrastination, right? One is the productive kind, and I think that's what Noelle is, right? She's the productive kind, where if it's an unnecessary expenditure, then by all means,
actually, it's more like if it's a big expenditure.
Yeah, but big is a nebulous term. Okay, and then there's the destructive procrastinator, and obviously that's no good if you're a worker, right? So people have to make that distinction.
Yeah, and Noel, I feel you on the purchase thing because I just bought a new MacBook and it took me 3 months to make this decision, and finally it came to a point where I just needed to do it. It came down to that.
So what was the turning point?
The turning point was I wanted to sit somewhere else that wasn't my desk, and my computer couldn't last more than 30 minutes away from the charger, and I just. Also, my computer is really big, so it was a bit cumbersome to take around.
Yeah, technology and machines have a way of doing that because you can kind of like justify the ROI, right?
Yes. So let's hope,
like phones as well.
Let's hope I do justify the ROI because otherwise this could be a failure of a purchase. And after this, we'll be talking about the lessons you've learned from your own failures. It's something that we don't like talking about, but there is a lot more to learn from failures than success. You're listening to The Morning Run. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to The Morning Run. That was The Trip by Still Corners. I'm Roshan Kanesan with Noah Lim and Kusu Chuang in the studio this morning. And no Still Corners in sight this morning here.
No round corners either.
Now, I don't know about you, but I've tended to learn more from my failures as opposed to successes. Successes simply, I guess, reinforce behavior. We were talking about procrastination earlier. And I wonder what you guys have learned better from, your successes or your failures, Noel?
Well, that's what everyone says, right? Learn from your failures. Ray Dalio talks about it. I think he has a notebook or something. He will
principles,
and he will record down things that went well, things that didn't go well, and then he tries to connect the dots and try to see what the bigger picture is, and then produce a few books from that experience. And I think some companies like Google X, they also celebrate failures. They actually have an award, I think, for failures, just to encourage people to fail, because the more you fail, then obviously you'll find that innovation and you hopefully succeed.
Yeah, failure is very important. Without failure, you can't learn, right? And I want to draw some parallels between individual efforts and national efforts. I mean, for example, failures can be like adversities as well. And the more adversities, the more difficulties, the more times you fall down, the cleverer you get. I mean, the hope is that obviously you don't make the same mistake twice. And some people might say that if you give too much assistance to people, they'll just be forever useless, right? They'll be too entitled. They'll just get used to their dopamine and then they won't get up off their ass and do stuff, right? And you can see some national efforts at just opiating the masses doesn't make for a better workforce, does it? Right?
Yeah, essentially.
Without wanting to name any particular countries.
Yeah, but you know, when you don't, it's easy to save. It's good. That failure is a good way to learn, right? But no one wants to fail. No one wants to feel that pain.
And nobody wants to fail. Yeah. And the thing is, with Asian culture, right? It is such a face, loss of face when you fail, especially if you lose your job or if you start a business and then it doesn't make it the first time. And people think, oh, you know, your son is so useless. He failed. He lost his job. But that's when you learn and you come back and then you come roaring back and you make so many mistakes. You've learned from them.
And when we talk about this COVID-19 and all these lockdowns and people losing their businesses and all that, so failures, right? So how do you learn from them? And some failures may be difficult to recover from, if you made a mistake about something about integrity. If you lose your integrity, that might be quite hard to come back. Or if you lose your shirt, you go bankrupt. And if our bankruptcy laws are not very helpful, it takes you a long time to recover, right? You can't travel. You cannot, I think, even hold a credit card and so forth. But another aspect of this is also to learn from your successes. Why did you succeed?
Yeah, and
is
people,
it sheer dumb luck, or exactly. what were the conditions that made you succeed?
And yeah. so many examples, right, of PLCs who did well in, say, for example, one sector. Let's just say property development, right? And then they think they can go and start a fashion business, and then they fall flat on their face. They lose millions of bucks.
So one of my, so I like talking about when it comes, I think, to success and failures. I think investing is a great place to look at, right? So I once upon a time bought Apple shares, and this was not. I mean, I thought it was fundamentally strong, and I thought I had done the analysis and the stock did great. But was that skill or luck? It was luck. I happened to be at the right place and the right time. And I think a lot of us, especially retail investors, take like, oh no, I made that risk. I did that decision. No, but anything could have happened, right? What if COVID-19 happened then? Anything could have happened and sometimes when we succeed, I think we don't like acknowledging the luck involved in that process. But sometimes it's very important too, because you learning from successes is a slippery slope, because then you think that everything you did was correct, when really maybe some things were just, the tide was in your favor at that point.
And, yeah, so you need to know what were the conditions that led to that success and whether how those conditions, how can you maximize those conditions in future? Yeah. Well, Apple, we know it's one of those stocks, right, that it would
be
there.
On the flip side, I bought GoPro. A little while after that, thinking, "Oh man, I know what I'm doing.
Right? Yeah,
Look at the balance sheet. Oh, okay, they're doing very well. The stock is here. All right, let me buy GoPro. Very similar brand equity to Apple. I lost 70% on that. So that's one of the lessons in investing that really taught me that no one really knows what they're doing when it comes to these sort of things.
Yeah, and you get the impression that sometimes governments, in fact, oftentimes governments, they don't really know what it takes to be in charge of policy development, right? And I want to say to Malaysia, right, you need adversity. You need people to fall down. You need people to fall down and then pick themselves up. You can't always give them assistance because it doesn't make them to be a better people. I mean, Friedrich Nietzsche, I always quote Friedrich Nietzsche, right, the German philosopher, "That which does not kill you always makes you stronger."
And one of my favorite quotes is from Batman Begins, where Alfred tells Bruce, "We fall to learn to pick ourselves up." Right now, we're going into a few messages and then the 6:30 a.m. news bulletin to take you there. I Melt With You by Modern English. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Kanasan with Noel Lim and Kusi Chuang in the studio this morning. And that was Money by The Drums. And we're taking a look at international stories right now. In particular, some developments in Hong Kong right now, as China's new security law for Hong Kong basically sees them setting up an office in the city-state to gather intelligence and handle crimes against national security. My guess is this doesn't sound great to the people in Hong Kong.
Yeah, so it comes at a really good time, right? So I think even on Friday, the European Parliament has voted to take China to the International Court of Justice in The Hague. If this law, if they go ahead to impose those security laws on in Hong Kong, of course, then China says the law needs to be tackled separately. Yeah, so I guess China really muscling into Hong Kong.
Yeah, I mean, the issue really is that Hong Kong gets special trading status, right, with its developed countries, country peers. Obviously, the Hong Kong dollar as well is pegged to the US dollar, and it gets this peg courtesy of the special stuff it does between itself and the United States. China trying to muscle in on this territory means that obviously those special privileges might disappear, and that peg itself is also under threat, which explains why all these riots and there's even an exodus of people from the city-states.
Yeah, so I think the US is going to be, although Trump had said all that, but I think they're going to evaluate this really closely, because a lot of American firms have businesses in Hong Kong and they stand to lose more if Trump go ahead with any changes to the recognition of Hong Kong.
Yeah, just anecdotally as well, property agents having been alerted to this riots in Hong Kong, on the lookout for people leaving Hong Kong, selling their properties there and relocating to, you know, the Indonesias, the Singapores, the Malaysias, and the Thailand.
MM2H,
yes.
I think one of the things here is that with this national security law, if there are local Hong Kong laws that are inconsistent with Chinese laws, those laws are basically scrubbed off, right? They don't apply. Anything that's inconsistent with the security law doesn't apply, which is, I think, a concern to how they're going to how these two systems then work together. But it doesn't seem like China wants to work together. It's a matter of we are going to eventually reclaim this land for us. And this is just causing a bit more of a, and I think what Chuang said earlier really highlights that special status, right, that has helped Hong Kong become Hong Kong.
Yeah, so I think it looks like tensions are going to continue to will escalate, right? I think we should just brace ourselves for another round of major protests.
Yeah, I think everything kind of was focused on COVID-19 for the first part of this year, I think, for the second quarter of the year. Now let's take a look and see what's happening, what will happen now going forward. But speaking of tensions, President Donald Trump, not someone who is unfamiliar with tensions. The tensions with China are rising up again. But he had a Tulsa gathering, essentially a rally, which some people were a bit concerned over COVID-19 over COVID-19 concerns, but it looks like of the 1 million people that were supposed to be there, it was not. It didn't look like 1 million people. It certainly didn't.
Yeah, so I think this is a 19,000 seats arena to fit 19,000 people. I think about more than 1 million people had apparently registered to attend. So many may have decided not to go because of COVID-19 fears. But there's that TikTokers, right, who actually bought up, or rather they reserved seats and they didn't show up. Mm-hmm. TikTok users and Korean pop music fans apparently have partially taken credit for inflating attendance expectations at less than full arena at Trump's first political rally.
Yeah, the whole Donald Trump institution has really taken a hit the last 3 months. When I look at the Real Clear Politics survey, Donald Trump trails Joe Biden, who intriguingly is a president in waiting in his basement at the time of COVID-19. He trails Biden by at least 9 percentage points, and he hasn't had a good week in terms of not just the LGBT rights as well, the George
Black
Floyd protests.
And then DACA as well.
DACA as well, immigration laws. And then, of course, the upcming memoir by John Bolton, his NSA advisor.
Ah, yes. The Room Where It Happens
the
is just coming out
happened,
this
yeah.
week. Just one thing to highlight. See, you had a lot of all of them comparing it to the Black Lives Matter movement, right? But if you look at photos of all those protests, they were wearing masks. They were being socially distant. And if you look at photos, or at least what is being shown to us, no one seems to be wearing masks at the Trump rally. They're all very close together. It's a different thing, and it's a bit concerning. But only time will tell how this plays out. Right now, we're going into a few messages. When we come back, we'll be taking a look at the local papers and portals. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9. Welcome back to The Morning Run. That was Breaking the Law by Judas Priest off their 1980 album, British Steel. That is quite an album, and I'm quite a fan of that song. Right now, we're taking a look at the papers and the portals. And Kusa Chuang, you've got the Malaysian Reserve in front of you. What's on the headline?
Sure do. And on the headlines, on the front page, there's a guessing game continuing on the new leadership at PNB, which is the asset manager, the state government asset manager. Two names have been bandied forward. The current deputy MD of Khazanah National, Zulkarnain On, has been apparently offered the chief executive post. And the chairman post has apparently been offered to the former MD of Khazanah, Tan Sri Azman Mokhtar. So apparently, as at press time, it is not known whether the duo have officially accepted the offers. The other headline on the Malaysian Reserve is the fact that car loans are now going to be getting harder to get because banks are becoming more cautious in terms of preserving the quality of the loan book. And apparently, the more known the car brand, the harder it is to get a loan. So if you want to get a Toyota, I think it's easier to get a loan. If you want to get, say, a Fiat, for example, it might be harder. Just to cite a few names.
All right. That's particularly interesting, especially as rates come down. People may be looking, if you have the money, to get a car there. And actually, I did an episode of Ring and Sense on this a few weeks back with Joyce Chua of Success Concepts, if you want to take a look at some of the things you need to pay attention to when it comes to buying a car. Noel, you've got the Straits Times, and you got the Straits Times in front of you. What's it saying?
Yes, so Pasar Malams, traders are proposing tweaks to the SOPs, which they say the current set of SOPs are too restrictive, which makes it difficult for them to open, I think, next month. So they are suggesting a Bangkok-style Pasar Malam where, you know, there is basically like stalls with material that blocks them from, you know, that separates them between the neighbours instead of having a physical distance, because a physical distance means less stalls, right? So that's what they're suggesting, but I'm not sure how far that would go. And then some more in the news here, non-Muslims can tie the knot. Solemnisation at non-Muslim houses of worship can resume with some strict conditions. And another piece of news, 2.2 million jobs saved by this wage subsidy programs that the government has put in place. And Starbiz, now this is interesting, InvestKL is confident of attracting multinational companies, and they say they can get at least 10 this year. Interesting. So perhaps they have already started talks last year. But then I guess this also ties into our Breakfast Grill interview this morning. Sven Schneider, who's the CEO of the European Union Chamber of Commerce, Malaysia Chamber of Commerce. Now we're going to talk about the fact that Vietnam has already signed the FTA with EU. Where does this really leave Malaysia? Are we just going to start losing out on FDIs and trade?
And that's on the Breakfast Grill at 8 a.m. if you want to catch that conversation. And speaking of international, I've got the Star paper in front of me. And basically what they're going with here is the more the better, talking about opening up borders to green zones. Some of these green zones include the likes of New Zealand, Singapore, Brunei, Australia, Japan and South Korea. But some business leaders and industry players are saying that we should be including Thailand, Vietnam and China as well. This is, of course, in a bid to reopen the economy and get things turning again. It's definitely something that's a chicken and egg situation, right? We've heard of travel bubbles. I think Singapore is establishing some travel bubbles with other nations. And everyone's kind of figuring out how do we see travel restarting again. International travel at the very least. But I do want to turn over to the sports section of the Star with the headline there, Broken Guns, talking about my team there, Arsenal, who, as Premier League has started, have not won a single game in two. I am very upset by this.
I feel very sorry for you, mate.
Yes, but more importantly, I hope that Liverpool can clinch their title finally, because everyone knows that this is long overdue. They've had a fantastic season. Let's hope they finish it strong.
Not on the evidence of their draw with Everton last night, because they look very lackluster. But I'm just saying.
Fitness, right? And this is something that, you know, restarting anything is going to take time. It's not easy to just, for footballers, it's something that you have to train back into. That's a big concern of theirs. And the same goes with any form of economy, right? You have to slowly get back into it. I mean, yes, we can, people can spend money, but it is the businesses need time to, you know, adopt the new SOPs. And
it's very hard for restaurants to see that they can basically come back to what was pre-COVID, right? Because you've got to socially distance. I mean, I was in Atria last night and it's quite pitiful. Some of these big chains have actually closed their doors. I don't know when, if at all, they actually get to reopen.
Right. And on that note, we're going into a few messages right now. And then the 7 a.m. news bulletin. When we come back, we'll be taking a look at world markets with Stephen Innes of Axie Trader to take you there. My Friends by Red Hot Chili Peppers. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.